Praise the Lord. Wow. Good to have each one of you here today. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. It's good to have each one of you here. Cheryl's got some praise reports, as usual. For the church that gets their prayers answered.
Amen.
Is that us?
This is us.
We're the church that get our prayers answered. We like to tap into that power that Mike's talking about and see God answer our prayers.
Amen.
Wow, what a deal.
Amen.
I think I told you all about a week or two ago, we had a young man that had contacted us, and his ex-wife had cancer, and she was in the process of dying, and she was not saved. And he asked, would we pray for her salvation, which we did. And it ended up, like, just a few hours before she passed, she accepted Jesus, and then she did pass. But he was so excited, and yes, praise the Lord. She made it, so that's good. But he sent a little thing this week. Dear Pastor Thurman and Cheryl, thank you so much for your teachings and your prayers. They've changed my life, and I've been healed on more than one occasion because of them. And I've listened to How to Get a Lost Person Saved. I plan to listen to it more times, and also I've given out numerous copies of the booklet. And so then, because he saw his ex-wife saved, he came back and asked, would we pray for both his sister and his brother, because they were not yet saved, and of course, which we did. And we're going to, I know, have a wonderful praise report about that, about them being saved.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, last week we had a young man that came up here for the first time. His name was Bob, and his hips were just killing him. And he was a friend of Wendy's, and he said, so Wendy wrote this week. She said, Dear Cheryl and Thurman, Jewel asked, you know, Jewel comes here, everybody knows Jewel's 96 years old and still works. God love her. I told her, I said, I want to be just like you when I'm 96. She said, well, I want to be just like you right now. I was like, praise God. She has more faith than I do. All right. Anyway, she said, Jewel asked Bob, like I said, the young man that came up here on the drive back to Dallas, if he'd went up and gotten prayed for. He said, yes. And now I have no pain. He was very, praise the Lord. He was very happy because he'd been in a lot of pain, and he sang almost all the way back to Dallas. He sang till we dropped him off to his workplace. Thanks for all you all do. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Just think, you've been in pain for all that time, and then you come and get prayed for, and God takes away the pain.
Amen.
That's a good reason to sing all the way back to that.
It is. Yeah, it is.
I want to connect
to what Mike spoke about a vision. When I was 50, 20 years ago, amazing, isn't it? Time flies. Anyway, I'd been seeking the Lord, and I'd been reading some spiritual books, and so it was about 4 in the morning, and, you know, because I sang, and I always stayed up late, and I still stay up late, thank you. And I turned my hands up, and when I did, light shot off of my fingers up into all the way past whatever. They just shot up there. If I put them together, they became like a solid, and if I did like that, they were like a wand. And anyway, I asked the Lord, you know, what is this? And he says, you are never disconnected from me. You see? And so, just like what he was saying, you know, you plug into what pastor has. That's why, in fact, we had one more prayer request. I don't know what time it was. Sometime late last night, somebody from Canada emailed, and I get it on my phone. And so I hear it goes off, and if I'm still awake, I'll look at it. And she says, urgent prayer request. Their car broke down in British Columbia, and they're in the street, and, you know, they want protection and everything. And she's with her husband, but her husband's not saved. Her name is Valerie. And so I tell him, we pray that the car will get fixed, or they'll get to where they need to go. Well, they did get it fixed, and then they went a little bit longer. And then a little while, I get another email and said, we've stopped again, you know, please pray that we can get home. And so he was asleep at that point. So I just, because Because usually what happens, if he's asleep and I don't want to, you know, if it's not really, really urgent, I don't wake him up. If it's somebody like this written that they're dying or something, that's a whole different story. I will wake him up. But like, you know, kid dying, we've had many of those happen. And so I didn't wake him up. I just prayed. I took authority. I remitted their sins because I know this young man's not saved. And I know there's a lot of stuff in their family. And so I remitted their sins. I commanded that car, truck would keep running and get it home so they could fix it. She wrote back today. She said, praise report. They got home. It was the alternator, and he's putting a new alternator on it today.
Praise the Lord.
So thank you, Jesus. Lord. And usually, like, of course, so I got the praise report, so I didn't have to include him as one of my prayer warriors.
Praise
and usually what happens when I wake up, I'll say, honey, so-and-so and so-and-so, and I prayed this, and I said, are you in agreement? And he said, yes. So Matthew 18:90, we close the deal.
Praise the Lord. All right. Well, we're going to press on here today with what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks about why we don't get our prayers answered. How many of you have ever had an answer to prayer in your life? Okay. How many of you in here have never had an answer to prayer in your life? Okay. Well, I hope that's everybody. But the thing about it is, the reason I'm doing this is we got a letter, email, from a pastor in a foreign country that they found our website and they went to our YouTube and some of our stuff and they looked at it and he was blown away at the answers to prayer that he saw that come from the Living Savior Church. He said, I've never seen a church that had as many answers to prayer. I mean, spectacular answers to prayer. You know, how many of you know we get to see God do some spectacular things here? Boy, he don't just do just little things. He does some stuff here. And we are so grateful. And he does that. But this pastor, he was shocked that he saw answers to prayer like this. And he thought, wow, what am I doing wrong? So he emailed me, sent me some information. He said, Pastor, what are we doing wrong? He said, we pray, but we don't hardly ever get an answer to prayer. And the kind of prayer answers to prayer that you get there with your church and your prayer warriors, we never see anything like that. Well, let me tell you, I have seen many a person that has never gotten a supernatural, spectacular answer to prayer. In fact, I was talking to a gentleman after the first week. We talked 2 weeks ago, and he came to me and was talking to me, and he said, you know, I've been in and out of churches all my life. You know, he said, I've served the Lord in many different churches, but he said, I could list you at least a half a dozen churches right now that fit that criteria, that they don't hardly ever see an answer to prayer. You know, I mean, I could stop and think of all the Baptist churches I was in and all the years I was there, and how many answers to prayer did I get? Very few. Very few. Why? Why is it that I couldn't get my prayers answered? Well, I asked the church to answer that for me, and the very first Sunday, which was a couple of Sundays ago, y'all remember what the number one answer was why we don't get prayers answered? Unbelief. That just came out just all over the place. Unbelief. Well, let me throw something at you to think about. I'll be the first to agree with you that unbelief is our major problem, because I can think of all the churches that I've been in and something happened to me or to someone else. And we never go directly to God and expect Him to do something. Or we say we pray and ask God to do something, and then we go to some book or the internet or the doctor's office or whatever and start crying out to the doctor, I need help. Do you know that according to God's Word, now this is one of those kind of things that you'll have to realize that this come out of God's Word, and I didn't write the book. You know, so don't shoot the messenger whenever I give you this information. believe this is true, because let me tell you something. When you ask God, in fact, I had a testimony a while ago about something, about some wasp or bees or whatever, and it triggered me to think about what happened right here many years ago whenever I was down in the pasture down there. I was building fence to separate out my cows, and I was digging a hole there to put the anchor there. I dug down through a place in the ground where it was loaded with fire ants. Now, fire ants are black. They're little black ants. And, I mean, you can't see them walking along on black ground. I mean, and the dirt down there is black, and the fire ants were black. So everything was black. Well, I was down there, and I was trenching in that, and I took my trencher, which is a little gasoline-powered trencher, and I trenched about a four-foot ditch right at the end of that post. When I did, I trenched right through that big fire ant bed. I mean, I didn't see them coming out. You know, the dirt's piling up there. It's just loaded with fire ants. Okay. All of a sudden, after I throw a lot of dirt up there in the hump, a lot of it, of course, falls back in the hole. Well, I don't want it to be in that hole. I want it to be outside. I want to put concrete back in there. So I down on my hands and knees right over that pile of dirt, and I run my hands down into that hole, plumb to the bottom, and my arms are totally covered with this little black dirt. I mean, I'm the dirt. You can see the black dirt, and I'm right here in front of them in my face, and I'm pulling this dirt out, and all of a sudden now, it's like something happened, and it's like they have a commanding general somewhere. And this fire ant general says, "Okay, boys, we got him covered from top to bottom. Steam." And whenever that happened, it's like I was on fire. I mean, I didn't know what it was, but I was on fire. And boy, when I looked down in there and jumped down in there, and as I'm digging this stuff out and I'm now looking and concentrating on this, my arms are on fire, my neck is on fire, my head's on fire. I am covered with fire ants. And I'm telling you, I was burning all over. Now then, I happened to scream. I mean, I had never been stung like that in my life. But I'm burning, I'm on fire, and a scripture comes to my mind. Do any of you remember what that scripture was? Mark 16:18. Okay, let's turn to Mark 16:18 and see that scripture that came to my heart. Let Cheryl read that, and let's see what Mark 16:18 says.
They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
Okay. No deadly poison shall hurt me. Does it say that?
Yes.
No deadly poison. If it says no, read that one more time, Cheryl.
And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them.
Okay. Do we have that with another translation? Like the NLT or something? Do we have that where you could put that in another translation up there? Okay. As soon as you get that up there, see.
They will be able to handle snakes with safety, and if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them.
Okay.
They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed.
Okay, so there is a couple of things that said there that no deadly poison shall hurt me, and we shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And I had been teaching these things right here in this church and lots of other places, that really, if you got that over and over and over in your heart, that no deadly poison shall hurt you, and all of a sudden you realize you're being stung with thousands or maybe tens of thousands, I don't know how many there were, but boy, there was lots of ants all over me. But when I saw what had happened, when I looked down and saw these ants on my arms, I knew, since my arms were burning, my face was burning, I knew these things were all over me. And so I jumped up out of the hole, and I grabbed my glove on my right hand, and I jerked it off, And I threw both hands up in the air and I said, Father. And I mean, I'm not talking light. I want to make sure that God hears me today. I'm screaming. You know, now, you know, sometimes, you know, if there ain't nothing to bother you, no urgency here. Like Cheryl said, you know, somebody's not dying. Wish you won't wake me up to have me pray at night. But if they call and say, urgent, somebody's dying, she'll wake me up. How dare her wake me up just because somebody's dying? But y'all understand that, right? So anyway, I throwed my hand up. I took that one glove off, and I throwed that hand up in the air, straight up in the air. I said, Father, your word says. You notice what I did? I reminded him of what his word said. I said, your word says no deadly poison shall hurt me. I claim that now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And I'm telling you, in one heartbeat, the thousands of ants that were all over me, when I looked down, I was covered with ants. And after I quoted that verse, every mark, every sting, everything would just blew away like a bomb. There was not an ant left nowhere on my body. There was not a burn. There was not a whip. Nothing. How many? Now then, you notice something. I did that to tell you something. And this is where, in fact, after I saw that happen, and I saw all the ants blowed off of me, I was awestruck that the Word of God was so perfect and so precise, and it works just like it said. No deadly poison shall hurt me. And so whenever I was bold, it worked. Well, probably 6 months later, I was painting over here in the house, and I had a big old rag there. And I picked it up and wiped my hands off because I had some paint on my hands, and something stuck me on the finger. And so I looked and I thought, well, I wonder what that was. A needle in that or something. And so I messed with it a little while, didn't find anything. So I went ahead and wiped the paint off again, and when I did, I got stuck again. This time I said, okay, so I took that rag and laid it out there, and there was a great big old red wasp. In that it had been laying there under that rag. Well, a few months ago, I've seen the Word of God work when I quoted it with thousands of ants. I only got one wasp. So you can understand why I'm not quite as excited. You know, I mean, I saw it take care of tens of thousands of ants. I mean, just bam, boom. They were gone, and there was not an ant or a sting or a mark or nothing left when I claimed God's word. So now that why should I be excited to be that just because I've got just one wasp? Don't you think if he can take care of them all them ants, he can take care of that one wasp? Yeah. Don't you think he can?
Oh, yeah.
So you see why I'm not excited, right? So anyway, I mean, it's burning, but it's not too bad, and so I just kind of laid the rag down. Of course, I first mashed the wasp and killed him. I didn't need him there no more, so I got took care of him. And after I hit him with the top back of my hand on the cabinetry, it just crushed him, so no problem. And then I looked at my finger and I said, Father, your word says no deadly poison shall hurt me. Thank you, Lord. And it just kept right on burning. I looked at that and it just kept right on burning. I said, Father, your word said. And when I raised my voice like that, guess what happened to the fire? It went away. Now then, why did it happen like that?
Because you didn't say, Father, your word said.
See, the thing about it, I wasn't too excited. But he wanted me to know, what does Matthew 11:12 say? Let's see what Matthew 11:12. Since the coming of John the Baptist, we'll let Cheryl read that.
And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force.
Oh, okay. So, how many times is it God's will to answer his promises? Do you have a scripture for that?
2 Corinthians 1:20.
What? 2 Corinthians what?
1:20.
2 Corinthians 1:20. Somebody said, well, God made a promise, but I don't know what he's, I don't know if his answers are yes or no. So I said, well, let's go to 2 Corinthians 1:20 and let's see what he said. What? So read that, honey, one more.
For all the promises of God in him, Jesus, are yea, and in him, Jesus, amen, unto the glory of God by us.
Okay. If the promises are always yes, and I've used that promise just a few months ago for thousands of ants, and they all, I mean, they had already stung me, and I had whips and everything all over me, but in one heartbeat, I was completely delivered, but I was extremely excited. Why was I extremely excited? Because these things, there's enough poison in tens of thousands of fire ants to get into your arteries and to cause a cardiac arrest. Now then, that's not exactly what I want, not yet. I don't want the devil to take me out. I'm not going to agree with him. I want to be healed, and I know that the promises are me, and he gives those to me. And so if I stand on that promise, so I stood on it with excitement in the field down there when I had thousands of fire ants, and I mean, I was instantly set free. I mean, that really excited me. In fact, I, of course, had to tell that in church every Sunday for 2 or 3 Sundays there, you know. I was so excited about what God does. And some of you may have been here and heard me tell that story, and you remember that God did this for Pastor, but now then you have a problem, and you got stung, or you got some poison in you, or whatever. And now then you're saying, you know, I remember what Pastor said. He said that he stood on some scripture. What was that scripture? I can't remember, but it was in the Bible, I think. Y'all see why this is not working for you? You're telling God, I know this is in your word. I know there's a promise there, but I don't know where it is. After all, why do I have to have God's word? Does God only watch over his word to make it perform? Oh, Mike's over there shaking his head saying, yeah, he only watches. Does anybody know where that's found?
Jeremiah 1:12.
Okay, let's go over and let Cheryl read Jeremiah 1:12. Let's see, whenever people say, you know, Thurman's not right on this, I know he's not right this time, so we're going to check him out. So we go to the scripture and let's see what it says. And they said, lo and behold, it said exactly what he said. So then if it doesn't say what I say, we're in trouble. But just think, what'd that say?
Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it.
Wow. What did he say? He would hasten his word to perform his word? So now then, I think here's why it's so important for you to hide the word in your heart. If you want to see an answer to prayer, you make sure you got that word in your heart. Now then, if you don't have the word in your heart, that reminds me of a story about a pastor in Korea. And when he started in the ministry, God told him that he was calling him to be a pastor, and that if he would ask him for anything, he would give it to him to get his ministry going. So he, you know, he's hearing God, but he's like all the rest of us. You hear God tell you something, but you think, you know, maybe that wasn't really God. That's just like, what if I were to say, if I were to tell you, okay, I call your name. I am God, and I've come to talk to you to tell you that I'm going to give you exactly 30 days, and then I'm going to bring you home. Now then, if you really believe God's going to do that, and you've got 30 days, some of you say, what would you do? And I say, I ain't going to do nothing different. Well, you're pretty crazy. If you really believe he's going to take you home in 30 days, you better make some changes, because in 30 days, if he says he's going to take you home, guess what he's going to do? He's going to take you home. Now then, we don't, that's kind of the way we handle God's word. We don't believe he'll do what he said. He tells us he'll do something, and then he backs it up all over the place with these promises. I will do this. My promises are always yes and amen. I answer my prayer. I watch over my word to perform my word. And you see this, and you say, okay, if Mark 16:18 says that no deadly poison shall hurt me, then that's what it says, that's what it means, and I'm going to believe it. But this is what we do. We think, Pastor, he told that story 5 years ago. I still remember that story. I know he said that somewhere that's in the Bible. So I'm going to stand on that promise. Now then, I need help. God, I know you said your promises. I do remember your promises are yes and amen, but I don't remember where I found that. I think it was in the Bible somewhere. Was it in the Bible?
Yes, it was.
Where was it at, Kim? You're the one that had it. The answer, God's answer.
Mark 16:18. Yep.
Okay, Mark 16:18, and then all of God's promises are yes and amen. Yes, 2 Corinthians 1:20, she says. But see, she's spitting this out like she's been there before and like she knows this. Now then, if you know this and you're making it work, and then after you pray, and now this is where we get in trouble. We pray, and we say, I know, maybe you even remember these scriptures. Maybe you remember where they were. And you said, okay, now then, I'm going to stand on this promise. And then you say, you stupid didn't have this problem. But today we have this problem. I mean, today you can ask Google for anything. And it'll answer you. I was blown away when Cheryl got this new phone. When she said, we're driving down the road, she said, okay, Google. I said, you're talking to me, honey? She's talking to that computer. She says, okay, Google, how do I get to Starbucks, the closest Starbucks? And it tells her. And I think, this is crazy. You know, I'm sitting over there right beside her, and I know where Starbucks is. All she got to do is ask me. I'll tell you where it's at. But if she asks me where it's at, and I tell her, and then she says, okay, I'm going to double check you. And she said, okay, I need, Google, I need you to show me where Starbucks is. So I said, honey, Starbucks is just down here on the right. I told you where. Yeah, but you may be wrong, so I'm going to double check with Google. So now then, we double check from Google. Now, if one of us is not right, then she's going to say, whoops, we got a problem here. But what we do, since we do have this internet now, we're trying to figure out what to do if we get stung with a wasp or ant or whatever, deadly poison. You get deadly poison in your body. As soon as you remember there is a promise in God's word, and you call on him, and maybe you remember enough of them to remember where it's at, and maybe all that. You say, okay, now we're gonna believe and stand on God's promises to get rid of this problem. But now then, run in the house right quick and check the internet and see what they say do. I mean, do we ask the internet for everything? I mean, I see people doing it all the time. I mean, it's amazing that they can put that much information, and you can't ever tell. I've never asked you this question. Google, what do you do if you get deadly poison in your body? I bet it answers. In fact, I'm going to have Cheryl check that out for me sometime and see if any of those gives me the right answer. Because if some of them says, you know, you could use Mark 16:18, no deadly poison will hurt you. And I'm going to be amazed if that's in there, but it may be in there. You know that? But let's say that we do go to God. Now, God's not going to be like me and Google. If you go to God and ask him for something, he's got a scripture that just blows me away every time I see us not walking in faith. And that scripture, does anybody know what that scripture is? James 1:6-7. James 1:6-7. Let's go to James 1:6-7 and let's see. Cheryl's going to read James 1, 6, and 7 and see what it asks, see what it says if we, after we ask for something in prayer. What does that say?
But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering.
What? Read that again.
But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering.
Okay, now that means if nothing wavering, that means I can't go to Google and ask Google too. Because if I go to ask Google what's going on, and Google's trying to answer me, that means I'm not trusting God and the Holy Spirit. Because according to Mike, we don't need anything but the Holy Spirit. Is that right, Mike? That's all we need. Once we got the Holy Spirit there, in fact, the Scripture even says, you don't need another teacher. You don't need anybody else to teach you. If you'll just let me be your teacher, the Holy Spirit, I will show you all truth. And people don't believe that either. So they're going to go to Google or they're going to go to somebody else. I'm telling you that when I saw Cheryl do that the first time, I was amazed. Okay, Google, she's talking that thing like it's a human being, and that thing answers her like a human being. That woman on that computer answered. But here's something about what we do. We ask God for an answer, or we quote his word, and we may even say, Lord, in your promises are yes and amen, so I claim this promise. Now then, I'm going to stand on your word for healing or for whatever it is. And find my car, find the car keys, whatever you ask him for. If you go any other direction after that and ask the computer or anybody anything, what does that scripture, honey, read that one more time about James 1, 6, and 7. What do you got to do?
But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering.
Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. So, when you come to God and say, okay, Lord, I need you to fix this deadly poison I've got in my body. It's like me and those fire ants. It's like me with that red wasp. Whenever that wasp, when he stung me, I stood on that word and then it didn't work. Why do you think God did that to me that day? I mean, the first day was I super excited. I mean, with the wasp, I mean, not the wasp, but the ants, the fire ants. Was I super excited?
Oh, yeah.
Why was I super excited? I had a reason to be super excited. I had been bitten by thousands of ants. That don't sound good in nobody's book.
No.
I don't want thousands of them ants on me, so man, I was screaming. You notice what I did? I came out of that hole, I jerked my glove off, and I threw that hand up in the sky, and I screamed, Father. I mean, I screamed it loud enough for God to hear me, no matter where he's at. But I screamed it, Father, in Jesus' name. Mark 16:18 says, no deadly poison shall hurt me. I claim that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And bam, that quick, all those ant bites, there was not a mark on my body. Nowhere. Obviously, I met God's criteria to get that prayer answered, right? Because he answered it. But the second time around, a few months later, when that red wasp stung me, I wasn't very excited. I did quote his word. I did tell him where it was found, but it didn't happen. I mean, I didn't get my answer. And so I thought, no, I don't understand this. I said, Lord, the word says, and this sting is still there. The needle's still in my finger. And I just throwed the rag down, I said, Father, your word said. And that's all I had to get out. As soon as I got serious with him, really said, I'm going to show you my faith, Lord. As soon as I really decided, Father, your word says, he knew in my heart that I was doing something in total faith, no wavering. I wasn't calling on Google. Praise God, back in those days, I didn't have Google to go to. Because, you know, I think about the problem that I just had with that hernia that I fought, that battle. And I thought, you know, if I'd have been with Job, I couldn't have done what I'd done. Because that's the first time in 40 years I've been to a doctor. I fought the fight of faith every time. But this time, my pain was so severe. I don't know whether I tell it right or wrong, but on the front end or the back end of that, the first pain was, I believe, 8 hours. I think that's why I get it right one way or the other. But for 8 hours, I was in excruciating pain. And then the thing went, moved over and the pain went away. And boy, did it feel good. Oh, my goodness, whenever this thing felt good. But then it plugged up again. And when it did, this time, I didn't fight it for 8 hours. I fought it for 18 hours. Now, that's a long time when you're in pain. And I was in excruciating pain for 18 more hours. And I finally said, that's it, Lord. If I'd have waited another hour, it might have been done. I don't know what it was, but God was answering my prayer, and the clock was ticking down to get my answer. I know that, because His precious promises are yes and amen. But my pain is so severe, I can't handle it no more. I just finally said, that's it. I've had it. I can get some relief at the hospital. So I'm just going to hang it up. That's when I called him and said, son, come over and run me to the hospital. And him and Cheryl took me up there. They took me up there. I couldn't stand the pain. But what if I had been Job? I didn't have a doctor. There wasn't no hospital down the road. There wasn't nobody to take me to the hospital down the road. So I would have had nothing to do but stand the test. That's what happened to Job. Job stood the test. I didn't want to stand any of that, but I had to. I felt like after all the things I'd been through, I know God answers prayer. I know He answers a prayer, and so I know He's going to answer my prayer, but I'm clicking down with that pain, and I'm getting to a point where I can't handle it. And I think that's what happens to us. You know, we get to a point where that we give up. In fact, so many of us, we ask God for something, and if He don't answer in 10 minutes, we think, oh, well, His answers are no. But that's not true. You know, you need to stand your ground. And that's what's so difficult, is standing your ground. But Job, he didn't have nothing to do but stand. I mean, there was no doctor to go to, was there? So, okay. So if we take these promises, and they're all yes and amen, why do we not get our answer? I mean, sometimes, let's just stop and look at that one more time. James 1, 6 and 7. Cheryl's going to read that one more time. James 1, 6 and 7. But when you pray, you must do what?
Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord.
Now, I don't know about you, but that's scary to me. If I don't do what I do in total faith, what am I going to get from this awesome God? When somebody will say, you know, God would never be that hard on His children. But is that what He said? Did He say that He will not? If you don't come to me and ask, believing I can do what I said I would do, He said, you're double-minded. You're unstable in all your ways. Let not that man or woman think they're going to get anything from me, the Lord. He was pretty clear, wasn't he? So why do you think that we don't get our prayers answered lots of times? Do we believe in faith? No, we do not believe in faith. I mean, are we standing on His word? I remember when I first met Sharon, one of our prayer warriors over in Dallas. She came to a healing school. And after the healing school was over, she came up to the front and she said, Pastor, I want you to know that I have never been to a teaching of God's Word like this. I've never been taught like this. But she said, I want you to know that I have been standing on God's Word for 27 years, and I have been prayed for over 100 times, and I never got an answer to my prayer. She said, I've been prayed for by some really strong people, strong prayer warriors, but I've never got an answer to my prayer. I said, well, okay. I said, so how long you had the problem? She said, 27 years. She's waiting for 27 years. I said, well, let's go back 27 years ago and let's when this all started, and let me ask you what kind of sin you might have got into. Can you figure a sin? I said, Lord, Holy Spirit, reveal to Sharon what kind of sin she's been involved in her life. And he did. He immediately shared with her what she had done wrong. She said, oh, my goodness. And she told me a sin she had committed, and she said, oh, goodness. She said, yes, I have sinned. I said, well, have you ever confessed that as sin? She says, no, I guess I haven't. I said, well, the Lord clearly says in 1 John 1:9, anytime we have a sin problem, 1 John 1:9 tells us what to do with that sin problem, does it not? So let's read 1 John 1:9, and let's see what he says he will do. If you have a sin problem, and you're not able to get your prayer answered, then if you realize that you have a sin problem, then find an answer in God's Word that tells you what to do and do it. 1 John 1:9, Cheryl's going to read that and tell us what it says.
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
So it makes no difference how much bad stuff I got in my life, how much sin I've committed, how mean a boy I've been, or whatever I've done, or how many foul words I've spoken, or whatever. If I decide to ask God to forgive me for all that and quit that nonsense, when I ask Him to forgive me, will He just forgive me sometimes? What did He say He would do? He'll forgive us how many times? Of all your sin. He'll forgive you. And so, read that one more time, Cheryl.
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
So now then, if I don't care what I've done. I don't care if I've killed 3 people. You know, I've been a murderer, but now I'm a Christian and I'm walking with God. And I walk up there and say, I'm not able to get a prayer answered because I've got this problem. I've killed these 3 men. Or 3 people, and I've never repented of my sins. So I come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm so sorry that I killed those 3 people. I'm your child now. And I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me and wash me and make me whole in Jesus' name. Will He do it?
Yes.
Yes, He will. He will forgive you. He will cleanse you. He will make you the righteousness of God in Christ. And that's awesome to think that a God, and I said, He'll do it. And so Sharon asked the Lord to forgive her for her sins. And then after we ask Him to forgive us for all of our sins, what is the one thing that so many of us don't do that we should always do? We need to thank Him and praise Him for forgiving us, right? We definitely need to say, Lord, thank you for forgiving me. Just like that gentleman here that came down here the other day at the healing school that had that pain, I prayed for him. And before he got to Dallas, before he left here, the pain was gone, and he was jumping up and down, and he was praising God, and it was no problem for that little guy, which had had sin and pain in his body all these years. Now then, to get rid of it and to be in a place of no pain, it's no problem for him to praise God. You know, there's only one thing I hate worse than pain, ladies and gentlemen. It's more pain. I don't like pain. But anyway, that's why you have to do it. So it's amazing how we don't believe God, how we ask Him to do it. So when we take this problem and we ask Him now to forgive us, and He does, now then, what's the next step? Cheryl read that a while ago over there in Jeremiah 1:12. God watches over His Word, and He's ready to perform His Word. Is that what He said? So if He watches over His Word, then you need to take a promise. And I asked Sharon that day. I said, so you got your sins confessed. That's all taken care of. I said, so now that with you being washed in the blood, it's cleansed. I said, now then, we need to take care of what Scripture we're going to use to base your faith on. She said, Scripture? I never used a Scripture to base my faith on. I said, God said He watches over His Word to perform His Word. I think you need to find a verse. So which one would you like to use? So I think she said, well, let's use that awesome verse of Matthew 18:19. I think that's Kim's favorite verse. What does that say, Kim?
If he's going to put it up, and I'll read it from there. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father which is in heaven.
Now, wouldn't that be wonderful if that really worked?
Amen. It really does.
It does. If you do it in faith. Now, if you don't do it in faith, it don't work. So, but she did it in faith, and I said, that's a very awesome verse. So I said, we'll take that verse, Matthew 18:19, we'll stand on those scriptures. We'll ask the Lord to do a complete Jesus overhaul on you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet and heal everything that's not working. So we thanked him for doing it, and we prayed the prayer of faith. And then I said, okay, after we've done all this, I said, now there's only one thing lacking. And that's in James 1:6. Not James 1. That's James 14, 15. Yeah, James 5:14, 15, and 16. Let's read those three scriptures and see what he says to do. James 5. Now let's see what James 5:14 says. 14:15.
Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him.
Now just think of that. Think of that awesome promise here. I mean, this really blows me away to think that we have this awesome God that we serve, that we're trusting our souls to. I'm believing that I'm going to give him my soul, and he's big enough to save my soul. Even like Mary and Martha, that even raised me from the dead at the end of the history. And after I've been dead for who knows how many years, and one day he's going to say, Thurman, come forth, and my body's going to come out of the ground. And if it's in the ground, he's going to bring it out of there, and it's going to be fantastically, supernaturally strong and healthy, and I'm going to be dancing on streets of, course, my spirit's going to be dancing on streets of gold all the time. Who knows how long we'll be with him, but we're going to be with him. So anyway, when you look at that absolute awesome promise, what did Cheryl read there one more time, honey? Read that James 5:14-15.
Back to 14.
Yeah. So James 5.
Is any 14. Sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
I want you to think about that. What if you were a member of an organization and your boss come by and told you a statement like this? If you ever need any healing, just come to me and I'll pray the prayer of faith for you. I guarantee you'll get healed every time. Is that what that says? And then nobody uses it. That's the church today. That is the church that you and me love and serve. We don't believe God. We don't believe him. I try my best to teach and stand on his word, just like that scripture that we were talking about there, and I was talking about Sharon. When I talked about that last part, when we stood on the word of God for Sharon, and I often call Sharon my basket case because she had so many things wrong with her. I mean, she had all kinds of stuff wrong with her. But she come down that aisle, and I'll never forget when she said, Pastor, I've never heard the Word of God taught like this. But according to this, it's a done deal. God's already healed me. Now then, we prayed everything. We repented of my sin. We stuck to his promises. We're standing on a promise. And now then, you're going to pray the prayer of faith for me. And I said, and young lady, when I pray for you, I'm going to guarantee you on the Word of the living God, God is going to heal you.
Amen. That's
Do you hear any faith in that? And guess what he did for Sharon 12 or 13 years ago?
He healed her.
He healed that girl from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet.
Yep.
It wasn't long after that until I met Cheryl. She had an incurable disease she'd had for 30 years, and she couldn't get healed either. I explained the same thing to her. Cheryl did the same thing. She repented of her sin, and we stuck the promise, and I stood on God's word and prayed for her, and guess what happened to her?
She got healed
too. Isn't that amazing? Here we got this awesome God that's made all these awesome promises. I mean, did he make these promises? Are these promises in the book?
Yes.
If these promises are in the book, then he wants us to use them. I mean, just like Bill. I mean, that scripture, we just remitted his sins and laid hands on him. We just did exactly what the Word of God said for Bill. I had him come up here and stand right here, and we prayed one simple little prayer, and then I asked every faith-believing man in this church to come by, and I think nearly every one of you did. You come by and you just touched him and said, "Be healed," in Jesus' name, "Be healed." And every man came by and just touched him. That's all it took. And then Bill already had an appointment, I think, on Tuesday to go back to the doctor to be checked, and he went back and they checked him, and nothing there. Cancer's gone. He's healed.
So.
But if God is the one who made the promise, and we use that promise, now as we pray, if I'd have said, "Okay, now, Bill, we have prayed, but we're not sure that we can trust God's word 100%. Maybe 80 or 90%, but we don't know. He may need a little help, so we would like for you to go to the doctor and be checked out this week to see if your cancer is there, or what do you think would happen?"
It wouldn't
have worked.
No.
Did God say that he would share his glory with anybody? No, he ain't going to share his glory with nobody. And he told us that, didn't he? "When you call on me, I don't need no help. I don't need your help." You know, I think about men, and that's the way we are. And I'm the world's worst at this. When I was normal, young and normal, just as a man, still I was young and normal. Cheryl tells me I'm not normal, so I don't. Anyway, whenever I was young and normal, even when I was young and normal, whenever I did something, I knew what I was doing well enough that I knew I didn't need any outside effort. Just like Mike over here, he's told us his story many times about the pen and the timing chain in that car. I was just like him, you know, when I was building an engine or something, I built that thing and I put it back in the car, and I expected that engine to run for thousands of miles because I knew what I was doing, and I knew I didn't need anybody to come by me and stand over me and tell me how to do it. I didn't need any help. I could do it all by myself. I'm a big boy. But then one day I learned from God's word. He expects you to call on him and then nobody else. I understand where that comes from. He does not want you to help him. I mean, he don't want your help for your salvation. He don't need your help for his healing. I mean, by his stripes, we are healed. It's already done. We don't need to call on no doctor. I mean, as I'm now seeing the Word of God the way it's written, it clearly says that if you pray, if there's anything wrong with you, whether you're sick or whatever it is, whatever answer to prayer you need, when you pray, you must trust me with no doubt in your heart. Is that what he says?
I forgot Pastor Santos' praise report.
Oh, okay.
I had a praise report on my message, says, and it's from Pastor Paul Santos up in Baltimore. He said, "Have great news. I was diagnosed with prostate cancer 2 weeks ago. I laughed at the doctor and at the devil also. We went on a defiant attitude, just thanking God for my healing. They made the biopsy, and today the results came back. The doctors are astounded and don't know what happened. The cancer disappeared. Praise the Lord. The PSA was 1,180. Now it's 2. They are baffled. Praise God.
We have to fight the good fight of faith, don't we? But he knows how to fight the good fight of faith, I will say that. But still, there's so many things to learn, that to be an overcomer. And wow. Mm. Now then, you got a question?
Is there a scripture for calling on the Holy Spirit? What he's asking. He said he used to call for joy.
It never failed me.
I'm sure I don't know. I'm sure there's some in there somewhere, Bill, but I know that we call on the Spirit of the living God. There's definitely not anything wrong with asking the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit or answer, you know, to give you knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. That's definitely okay. I know that. So praise the Lord. So, wow. Okay, let me ask. Okay, now then, let's take another question then. After we've talked about what causes these things to happen and why some churches get their prayers answered, and we've talked about several, now then I'd like somebody else to give me an answer for, in your life, or why God does or does not answer your prayer. What do you think would be the next highest utilized, something that he does not, that would cause him not to answer our prayer? What could we do that would cause God not to answer our prayer? What's that?
Sin. So they're saying sin. What if
a curse? He could be under the curse and not know it.
Oh, okay. Be under the curse and not know it. Okay, that's a very good one. Okay, so you could be under the curse. Let me ask you, all of you, a question. Every one of you know, I'm sure, that when you were born, you were technically born under a curse. Everybody is cursed. You don't have to say that way. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, whether you're 5 years old, 10 years old, 20 years old, 60 years old, when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, how many of those curses are actually gone away? All of them, if you know it. See, these curses are received, the breaking of these things are received by faith. And this is usually what happens when we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. We only know the part of salvation. I didn't have a clue that there was a curse that I was under that could be broken when I accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Nobody told me that. I had no idea, being raised up in a Baptist church, that I was redeemed by the Lord, that I was redeemed from every curse. And all I had to do was say, it is written. Right here, it's written that I am redeemed from every curse of the law. So the curse can have nothing to do with me. So I take authority over these spirits, and I command these evil spirits that come with every one of these curses that I'm redeemed from to go away. And if I know that, I not only get saved, but I get healed at the same time. Now then, if I'm saved and healed at the same time, and everything works like it's supposed to, then I should have no problem with no kind of sickness or nothing, as long as I walk in obedience to His Word and realize that Jesus paid the total price, and He doesn't need any help taking care of my salvation or my healing. If that's the truth, then I should not have any problem. But what happens? I do have problems. You have problems. Things happen because what happens is we fall from grace. We get to where we need to help Jesus. I mean, he couldn't deliver me completely all by himself. He's got to have a little help. I mean, yeah, I realize he's Jesus, but Jesus needs help. Is that the way we think? That is the way we think. And so when we start helping, throwing our 2 cents worth in there and start helping Jesus to deliver us and all the stuff or whatever, anything, just like eating food, it's clear. In the Old and the New Testament, all foods are clean. I can show that to you. But there's people say, that's not true. In fact, I got thrown off of Christian television because I said you could eat anything. They literally threw me off of the set, you know, told me I could never teach on God's Learning Channel anymore because I say all foods are clean. I took them to the book and showed them where it said it. But that's not what he meant, Thurman. I said, well, praise God. If he doesn't mean it, why did he put it in his book? Y'all see where I'm coming from?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that when they called me and told me that, when I called them and said, yeah, I'm not on the set this month, and of course I now realize it totally was God. He had a plan. He always has a plan. And so whenever I says, it clearly says all foods are clean. If all foods are clean, now then what if I come along with somebody that's a bug or a person that really believes that some things are bad for you. And there's a lot of us. A lot of us. And I say, I could use this example of me and Peggy with my Dr. Pepper. I used to love Dr. Peppers. Cheryl loved Dr. Peppers. When Peggy got on me one day for drinking a Dr. Pepper, I quit drinking them. I've never had a sip of one since. I mean, but now then, since I really meditated on the Word, I realized, technically speaking, if I drank that Dr. Pepper by faith, all foods are clean. I can drink that Dr. Pepper by faith if I want to, but I'd better, in fact, he says, now if you're going to do it, don't do it to show out, because if you do, that ain't faith. He said it won't work, and so it don't work. But there's so many things that you got to concentrate on to be able to do what God says. But if you walk by faith, that's just like here a while back. Everybody told me I couldn't eat ice cream. They say, Thurman, what problem is you need to quit eating ice cream? I said, but I love ice cream. And they said, well, you're going to have to quit it. So I did for a while.
Oh, wow.
I did it for a while, and I thought, okay. Lord, I hadn't eaten any ice cream. I can't tell any difference. I still feel exactly the same. I have no problem. So, Lord, I'm not going to do it to show out or nothing else. But anytime somebody comes by and says, Thurman, you want to go get a bowl of ice cream? I'll say, yep. So I go with them and get me a bowl of ice cream. I don't try to say anything to nobody. I don't get smart with nobody. I don't make it a point. If I want a bowl of ice cream, and somebody's there and say, you know you can't eat that bowl of ice cream in faith. And I said, well, yeah, I can too. I can eat it in faith. But, you know, I don't believe you can do it. Yeah, I don't think you should eat it. Okay, let's just put it back in the refrigerator. We won't eat any. And so I go do my thing. They go do their thing. When they go home that afternoon, I go get my ice cream. Because I believe if I want to eat a bowl of ice cream, I can eat a bowl of ice cream. I can walk in faith for that ice cream with you or without you. But the Lord tells me if I'm going to do it to make fun of you, to create a problem, he said, I can't do it in faith. That's not walking in faith. So he said, you got to learn to walk in love. So isn't it amazing? So I'm telling you that you can do, if you read the word, just like a young man wrote me the other day, and he said, I got a question about the law and grace. I said, you only need to remember one thing about grace. It's free, and God needs no help. It's free, and God needs no help. I said, if you can remember that and walk there, you're okay. I said, you can do anything you want to, but if you walk in grace. Isn't that amazing? You're free. What do you do with it when Jesus says, I give you the freedom to do all things? Oh, actually, Paul's the one told us that. But I'm going to give you total freedom. Total freedom in Christ.
Amen.
Total freedom.
Total freedom. Amen.
Isn't that something?
Amen.
But I am free. I am free. I'm a son of God, and I'm free.
Amen.
And Jesus is free. And so you just have to believe that. So, but anyway, you know, I know that Peggy believes that I shouldn't eat Dr. Pepper or drink Dr. Pepper, so I don't drink Dr. Pepper. Because I'm not here to show out or do anything like that, but I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me.
Amen.
Now then, I know somewhere down the line something's going to get me. Really, you know, I don't know when it is, because it says it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. So your life is going to be over here on this earth someday, and so just don't worry about it. I mean, is there anything better than staying prepared to go on to be with Jesus every minute of your life? If you stay in faith, you're okay. That way, if he takes you home before you get to the house tonight, you're okay. If he waits and he does it in 10 years from now, that's okay. As long as you're walking in obedience to God's word, doing what he said, you're going to be okay. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stay ready. Just like when the Lord spoke to Paul Crouch that time before Paul died, told him, he said, Lord, this deal about the rapture, I got to know the truth so we can tell the people the truth. When is the rapture coming? He said, Paul, this is all you need to tell them. Stay ready. Stay ready. So are you ready for Jesus to come?
Amen.
I am. If he comes tonight, I'm okay. If he comes tomorrow, I'm okay.
Okay.
You know, if he comes next month, I'm okay.
Okay.
I'm ready. I'm going to walk in obedience to his word, and I am not going to walk as close to the edge of the pit of hell as I am. It looks a little hot down there. I think maybe I better get another step or two over here. Yeah, I'm going to get way over here. I don't want nowhere close to where that devil's at. Do you? Yeah, and I think about all these poor people, you know, that don't believe in Jesus. In fact, Cheryl ran into a lady this last week. She could not believe it. She's just talking to a girl 90 miles an hour, like just like she knows Jesus. And when she gets through visiting with this girl tells, I don't know if she tells her or not, but somebody tells her later. That girl that you were just talking to does not believe there's a God. She got with the wrong girl. Because if she's with this girl only knows Jesus. So she's going to talk about Jesus. Wow. But isn't that amazing? The people that don't know Jesus, If you live in the United States of America and you've never been introduced to Jesus, man, that's, I mean, we need to be telling people more about Jesus. You know that? We need to talk to them, tell them, so that they'll know. Wow. But anyway. Yes, ma'am?
You need to name this God's power, too.
I need to what? Oh, God's power too.
This is an important one.
Yeah, praise the. We're gonna. There are so many things. There are so many things that we don't do that we should do to be able to get God to answer our prayer. Technically speaking, every prayer we answer or that we ask should be answered. Every prayer that you pray, somewhere along the line, it needs to be answered. And I believe He will answer. He's got a purpose for everything. And I believe that He will answer all of our prayers. I believe He'll do great and mighty things. I think that He's in the process of doing great things right now. And I think He's fixing to get bigger and better all the time. Yeah, I just believe the Holy Spirit is fixing to really do something fantastic, and God is going to bless His children, and we're going to see things. I mean, I don't know what He's doing, why He's doing it, but just like I think it was India or somewhere, wherever it was, they had the greatest flood, 150 people, 200 people, whatever, had already drowned in this flood. It has never, ever flooded in this country like this in all of creation. And it's terrible what they're suffering. And I think, as many men tell me, God's trying to get our attention. And I believe He is. So anyway, He's coming soon. Stay ready, be ready. I mean, just be ready to, because if He comes, it's going to be too late. Me and Cheryl are going to be on that first load. When that first load goes to heaven, we're going to be there, ain't we, honey? Yeah, we're going to be there. We're going to go out with Him on the first load. No two ways about it. Well, praise the Lord. Well, but anyway, praise the Lord. Okay, we're going to close with the Word of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for all these folks that come. And we, Lord, thank You for giving us knowledge and wisdom about what we need to do so we do get all of our prayers answered, so people can see Your Holy Spirit do a great and mighty work in all these and all the things that happen. We want to see You glorified, and we thank You for doing it, Lord. We praise You. You are the mighty God that You do answer our prayer. And Lord, I thank you for answering our prayers. I thank You for talking to us. I thank You that You are the mighty King, the Lord of lords and the God of gods. Now, Lord, thank You for blessing us. And thank You for meeting every need we have here today and answering every prayer for everybody that has a prayer request as they come forward and we pray for them. We ask You to meet that prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.